Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving deep into shareholder lawsuits and how companies can handle them. You sent over a case brief and the full legal opinion on the Maldonado v. Zapata Corporation case, a landmark Delaware Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, Justice Quillen really went in depth on this one.
It looks like this case really set a precedent for how corporations deal with these kinds of lawsuits.
It did. It really boils down to shareholders wanting accountability and boards wanting to avoid lawsuits they see as frivolous.
A real legal tug of war. The Zapata case is the rope. The case brief lays it all out, but that full legal opinion is quite the read.
Oh, absolutely. Gets into the nitty-gritty of corporate law, but the court really tried to find that balance, you know? Protect shareholder rights, but not let companies get bogged down by pointless litigation.
So let's break this down. Our case brief focuses on William Maldonado, a Zapata shareholder who filed a derivative lawsuit back in 1975, went after the company's officers and directors, alleging breaches of fiduciary duty.
Serious stuff. And he didn't even demand the board take action first, claimed it would be pointless, you know, since all the directors were implicated.
So he went straight to court.
Straight to court. Even filed a parallel lawsuit in New York based on federal securities law and common law claims.
Wow. Talk about a legal attack from all sides. Now, fast forward to 1979. Zapata forms an independent investigation committee. Two new outside directors. Basically gave them the power to decide the fate of these lawsuits.
And they decided to dismiss them.
Dismissal.
Yep. Concluded that the lawsuits were actually harmful to the company's interests. That's when things get kind of murky, legally speaking.
Because it seems like this bumps up against the business judgment rule.
Yeah.
This rule usually gives boards a lot of freedom when making decisions, as long as they act in good faith.
Exactly. It acts as a shield, protecting boards from being second-guessed all the time, as long as they believe their decisions are in the best interest of the company.
But the Delaware Court of Chancery, where the case was initially heard, they pushed back on that. Said the business judgment rule doesn't mean a board can just shut down any shareholder lawsuit they don't like.
Right, and this created a conflict because some federal courts had interpreted Delaware law, which a lot of companies use, differently. So you have this legal clash happening.
Shareholders wanting their day in court. Corporations wanting to avoid costly litigation. Classic power struggle. How did the Delaware Supreme Court, the final word on this, try to resolve this?
Well, they recognized that both sides had valid points. Shareholders have a right to sue, especially when you have conflicts of interest on the board.
Right.
But corporations need a way to deal with lawsuits they believe are baseless. So to find some middle ground, they came up with a solution that has had a huge impact on corporate law. Two-step test.
Two steps to navigate this legal minefield. I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
All right, so the first step is all about scrutiny. The court looks closely at that special litigation committee. Are the members truly independent? Did they act in good faith? Is there solid evidence to support their decision to dismiss the lawsuit? The burden of proof is on the corporation to show they did everything by the book.
So no rubber stamping allowed. What about step two? What happens there?
Step two is where the court really digs in. They use their own independent judgment to decide if dismissing the lawsuit is really in the best interests of the corporation.
So even if the corporations committee thinks they are in the right, the court can still overrule them.
Exactly. And they added the second layer of review because, well, think about it. These committees could be influenced by the very directors they're supposed to be looking into.
I see what you mean.
Right, so the second step makes sure that valid shareholder concerns aren't ignored just because it's more convenient for the company.
Makes sense. A way to ensure the process is fair. I'm betting this two-step test has been used a lot since the Zapata ruling.
Oh, absolutely. It became a precedent, the model for how to deal with these derivative lawsuits. And you can bet it's been analyzed and debated ever since. This Zapata case, it shows you the tension at the heart of corporate law, doesn't it?
Yeah, trying to balance efficiency and accountability.
Right. On the one hand, you have companies wanting to avoid lawsuits, especially if they see them as distractions. They can cost a lot of time and money and resources.
And management needs to, you know, run the business, make decisions, do what's best for the shareholders.
Exactly. Lawsuits can be a huge drain on that. But then on the other hand, you have the shareholders.
They deserve some way to hold the people in charge accountable.
Yeah, if they think something's wrong, you know, risk management, fraud, things like that, those are big deals.
Definitely. And that's where these derivative lawsuits come in. They give shareholders a voice, a way to act when the board won't.
That's it.
So the Zapata case didn't get rid of derivative lawsuits, but it did make things more complicated for shareholders who want to challenge board decisions.
It did. And it's important to remember, this two-step test, it doesn't just apply when there's a clear conflict of interest on the board.
You mean, even if it's not obvious that something shady is going on, a company can still try to use this committee approach to get a lawsuit dismissed?
That's right. Anytime a corporation wants to challenge a derivative lawsuit using this committee, the Zapata test is on the table.
So it's almost like a preemptive strike, a way to control things from the start.
You could see it that way, yeah.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of pressure on the court to really look into what the committee is doing and what the corporation is doing, too.
It's interesting that the Zapata Corporation chose Delaware for incorporation. I mean, they could have gone anywhere. Why pick a state known for being business friendly?
Well, Delaware's got this long history of siding with businesses. Mm. The Court of Chancery, the one that deals with a lot of these corporate cases, they're known for being efficient, good at handling these complex disputes.
So it's not just the specific laws, it's the whole environment. Having judges who are experts and knowing that the system will be predictable. That's what draws so many companies to incorporate in Delaware.
Absolutely. Corporations want stability. They want predictability. And they want a legal system that they see as fair to them. Delaware's been working on building that kind of environment for a long time.
But it's not like Delaware courts always take the corporation side. Like we saw in Zapata, they're willing to step in to protect shareholder rights.
That's right. It's about balance, you know. They have to follow the law, but they also want to keep Delaware as a major player in the world of corporate law.
It's like a high-stakes chess game. They have to think several moves ahead.
Exactly. And the Zapata case, that was a big move in that game, a move that still affects corporations and shareholders today. It reminds us that corporate law is always changing.
Always evolving. New cases, new challenges, new ways of looking at things. What's fair today might not be fair tomorrow.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to stay informed. You have to understand the precedents, the cases that shape the rules of the game, especially someone like you dealing with these issues all the time.
And knowledge is power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this world of corporate law. So to everyone listening, what do you think the main takeaways are from this deep dive into Maldonado v. Zapata? What does it mean for your work? Let's think about that.
Well, I think the biggest thing is Zapata reminds us that these shareholder lawsuits, they're not just something corporations can brush off.
Right. They're a way to hold corporations accountable, and courts know that.
Yeah. Even if a company thinks a lawsuit is pointless, they can't just ignore it. They need to be smart about how they respond, especially in a place like Delaware. The stakes are high.
For sure. Forming one of those special litigation committees, it might be the right move in some cases, but it's not a guaranteed win.
No, not at all. The court will be looking at everything that committee does. Were they independent? Did they do a thorough investigation? Did they act in good faith? And even then, the court might say, nope, the lawsuit goes forward. That's right. It's a high-stakes game, and everyone needs to be careful.
Definitely. You need good legal advice every step of the way, whether you're a shareholder thinking about filing a lawsuit or a company on the other side. You have to know Delaware law, and you have to understand this Zapata test.
If you don't, it could cost you big time.
Millions. Even billions of dollars, potentially. Not to mention damage to the company's reputation.
Oh, yeah. The fallout can be huge.
This case really shows how much law, business, and ethics are all tied together in the corporate world.
It does. It's not just about making money. It's about balance, making sure everyone's rights are protected, making sure companies are acting fairly.
Anyone working in the corporate world needs to know about Maldonado v. Zapata. Well, it's a landmark case, and it's still shaping how we think about corporate governance, how shareholders and boards interact.
And as things change, you know, the corporate landscape is always evolving. Cases like Zapata will be more important than ever. They're like roadmaps for figuring out these complex legal and ethical issues.
This case definitely makes you think, doesn't it? People are still debating what the Zapata test really means, and its impact is felt everywhere in the business world. We hope this deep dive has given you some valuable insights into this complicated area of the law. And remember, knowledge is power. Stay informed, and you'll be better equipped to navigate the ever-changing world of business.